Hello everybody. We come to a very interesting discussion today, and it's on a concept called reverse logistics. Now when we talked or spoke about in detail about logistics, we never said that logistics means forward logistics or logistics going ahead. Logistics is always thought to be the process wherein the product travels to be formed or manufactured and then finally goes to the customer. So, that is what we understand by logistics, transportation, distribution, etc. Then what on earth is reverse logistics? Why should this process be reversed? Now, it is not something which is rocket science, like it is very simple. What we sent, when we have to take it back for various reasons and for various purposes, then that becomes what we commonly focus or say as reverse logistics. So, reverse logistics is the process of planning, implementing and controlling the efficient, cost effective flow of raw materials, work in progress inventory, finished goods and related information from the point of consumption to the point of origin. So, that is the difference. Normally, it is from the point of origin to the point of consumption. This is the opposite. For the purpose of recapturing value or proper disposal. So, to be very simple, there will be two main purposes why this has to be taken back. One is something wrong with the product. If something is wrong with the product, either you will have to dispose it of in an environmentally safe and compliant manner, or secondly, if it is something which is correctable or if it is something which is amenable, then it has to be correct. Reverse logistics is vital to supply chain efficiency. A critical area for supply chain is reverse logistics. Reverse logistics includes activities to avoid returns, to reduce materials in the forward system so that fewer materials flow back, and to ensure the possible reuse and recycling of the materials. Now, here we have some important things to note. Reverse logistics includes activities to avoid returns. Now, this, although it looks paradoxical, what we are saying is effective negative returns should be eliminated. In the sense, if reverse logistics is not handled correctly, then a product which might still have a life, which can still be corrected and put back into the system, will die because the system to take it back was inefficient. So, we need to have a good reverse logistics systems. Returns can affect every channel member, from consumers, retailers and wholesalers to manufacturers. Now, generally as a final consumer, you will not be too bothered as to what are the costs of return. We have seen how modern retail chains also encourage returns very easily. Now, do not think it is a very simple process wherein I buy something, I try it on and then I say I do not like it, I just give it back to you. There is a cost associated to that return also. The basic assumption here is that human psychology is fundamentally honest and sincere. So, if I buy something, I will take it if the product is good. Just for the fun of it, I will not return it. But the point here, what I am trying to stress is that return is also unnecessary money for the partner, for the supplier, etc. So, he will also try to ensure that there are fewer returns, and when there are returns, they are handled in an even more cost effective manner than normal logistics activities are handled. Failure to handle returns effectively can result in delays in fulfilling new orders that could cost businesses sales as well as customer. So, businesses will suffer sales and lose customers if they do not handle this part well. We talked about this part, raw material to production, distribution to the final user. This is the end part. So, it is again coming back, repair, remanufacture, recycle, dispose. So, this is the reverse logistics of it. So, this is something which needs a lot of attention and planning. Why this happens, how this can be tackled effectively is what we will see in the slides going forward. Now, what are the reasons why this becomes necessary? Firstly, customer not satisfied. Most manufacturers and retailers allow customers to return product if they do not meet their demands within the predefined period. So, when you buy something, as per the store's or company's policy, you will have X number of days to return it, provided certain conditions like good and proper care is taken for the product while it is in the custody of the customer. Installation or usage problems. Customers perceive the product to be defective, while the reason for dissatisfaction is actually caused by a difficult setup or installation procedures or unclear instructions. So, especially let's take the example of electronic goods. You buy an expensive home theater and it's delivered on time, spick and span, everything is as per the textbook. Packaging is excellent, product is absolutely without any blemish. But if you are unable to get the assistance of the supplier or the store from where you bought to install it correctly, then your anguish and anger will start to rise and it might come to an extent that you might return it. So, it is not only important to have good quality, it should also, the other associated support services should also be equally good. Warranty claims. Defective products, products might either be dead on arrival, not in a working condition according to specification, or cosmetically damaged, can be returned to the manufacturer for warranty claims if the agreement stipulates thus. Faulty order processing. Examples of delivery problems are incomplete shipment or missing parts, wrong quantities, wrong products, duplicate shipments, untimely delivery which can cause customer to miss out on the intended use of the product. Fifthly, retail overstock, the channel inventory, which is very, very important. Manufacturers can provide resellers with the luxury of returning unsold stock. This is a common practice in the book industry, but in many industries, wherein you place material anticipating sales, especially in seasonal products, where you have to place inventory earlier to capture the market. There, if something doesn't go as per plan, then the distributor has bought something from the company and the distributor has sold it to the retailer. The retailer has sold it to the shop, final end user. All these channels have the right to send it back one level till it reaches the manufacturer, who cannot send it back most probably to anybody because he is the source of the product. So, that can also be an important reason why you need to have a good and robust reverse logistics network. End of product life cycle or product replacement. Once a product has reached the end of its life cycle, many manufacturers get it out of the retailer's shelves to prevent sales cannibalization of the new version. So, for example, in the mobile industry, the smartphone industry, you will have older models existing. Now, manufacturers would ideally like to take them back because the newer products, they need to capitalize the market with the fresh inventory, and secondly, their margins, etc., from the new product will be much more than from the old product in most cases. So, they would like to sell more of the new product, create shelf space by taking back the older versions. Manufacturer recall program. Serious flaws in a product can lead to recall instigated by manufacturer or government. We hear a lot about many auto manufacturers like Toyota, etc. They find out a defect in a particular model of a car and they have mass recalls. So, that entire activity has to be executed at a war footing and in with meticulous planning. This becomes more important than forward logistics in many cases. Seasonal products. There are many organizations that depend on a particular season to drive sales. Unsold items are recalled by the manufacturer stipulated in the original agreement. So, what is left out comes back. So, the retailer, the final end of the channel, not the customer, but the small shop owner who has stored the, for example, the ice cream, for example. If there is an agreement that at the end of May, when the summer kind of ends, they will return the inventory, the company manufacturing it will take it back. Other complications, the green factor, environmental reasons along with economic considerations, cause a growing number of manufacturers to take their product back at the end of a lifetime so that they can be disposed of safely. Most big companies, most multinational corporations are very sensitive to environmental needs because that's the need of the hour, and every as responsible citizens of the corporate world, they realize that. And they also know that the amount of knowledge that they have about these safe disposal methods is slightly more at this date at least than their channel partners down the line. So they will take the responsibility of getting the products back and then destroying it in the most effective manner, causing minimum damage to the environment. E-commerce, some electronic retailers estimate that up to 50% of their goods sold on the internet are returned. Shorter product life cycles. Product life cycles of many products, especially in the electronics and high-tech industry, have reduced drastically. That's why when you want to sell more, you pump in more, but you have to be ready to take back also efficiently, reuse wherever possible. Building a strong reverse logistics strategy. Products that need to be returned to suppliers can be moved through less than truckload shipping because you will not always get full truckloads of returns. I think as an organization you will not appreciate that. Reverse logistics strategies can also be essential in dealing with product recalls, like I mentioned for Toyota, etc. Return policies establish guidelines that govern when a product is to be returned and under what conditions they will be accepted. So, to discourage any fraud wherein, you know, returns are done by the channel partners for spurious goods and other things, robust policies have to be implemented, especially in for very important brands, you know, famous brands. What happens is that you take a competitor's product, you put it into a pack of the main manufacturer, the manufacturer whose brand is more famous in the market, and send it back to the manufacturer. So you send back a cheaper good and get a credit note for a higher value good. So you need to have good strategies to discourage and stop such malpractices. Return policies establish guidelines that govern when a product is to be returned and under what conditions they will be accepted. High-tech companies need to develop their warranty and return policies in an effort to strike a balance between providing an acceptable level of customer service and protecting the company. The policy provides some basis for protecting the maker of the product from fraudulent claims and unethical customers. On the other hand, return policies reduce the customer's risk when purchasing the goods. So when you know that you have a good return policy, even the honest customer, he is also relieved in his mind that if something happens which is beyond the control of his side and the seller's side, then there is a good return policy which in which he is not liable to hold the product because he has purchased it once. On the other hand, return policies reduce the customer's risk when purchasing the goods. Now, to develop a robust reverse logistics strategy, it's important to tap into the benefits of 3PLs. 3PLs we have discussed in detail earlier, so they also play a significant role in reverse logistics. The ability to obtain reverse logistics expertise quickly, achieving greater flexibility, speed to the market. Here, when we say faster speed to the market, we are saying faster speed of returns to the manufacturer. Creating a protective barrier against outside forces. Many companies outsource reverse logistics because they do not have the expertise within their management ranks to run that area. Manufacturers want their top talent running manufacturing plant, working with customers, managing imports, or just anything other than focusing on returns. So here we are talking about a policy where logistics is not totally outsourced. The returns part of it is outsourced to a 3PL. A good quality 3PL will be able to implement new reverse logistics operations within 6 months, while most internally implemented programs can take twice that long. Now again, this is what is generally seen, but there are organizations who very effectively handle reverse logistics and can do it in within a 6 month period also. Companies also outsource to cap and control other risks and liabilities such as inventory shrinkage, workers' compensation expenses, medical benefits and other miscellaneous expenses. Now, tackling the returns challenge. The volume and the method of processing returns drives the total cost of returns. The average return rate on sales is about 8%, but the return rate with subcategories can range from 4 to 15%. This equates to about $14 billion annual returns, and many of these products are not defective at all. This we are taking example of a particular high-tech industry. Companies can change the way they are organized to manage returns, alter the way they process returns, use advanced technology to process more efficiently and to prevent returns, or ultimately outsource their entire returns supply chain. Now, four key steps in the return process: local screening, collection, sorting, disposal. So what do we mean by these things? Local screening. In an ideal reverse supply chain, products are screened at the point of collection according to specification. Very important that you accept what is being told to you. You should not accept something which is not your product. So that knowledge, if it is an outsourced activity, should be given to the 3PL also. Collection. Retailers often have to send their return products back to their suppliers in different warehouses throughout the country. There are many different ways to collect the product. So the collection strategy will depend upon the manufacturer, whether they are collecting at various places or everybody is being asked to send material to one particular location, etc. Sorting. It's a crucial logistics step in the reverse logistics process because employees make decisions on what ultimately happens to the return products. Use of barcode and RFID speeds up and automates the entire process. Disposal. Disposal should maximize the value of reclaimed goods or dispose the goods in the most cost effective way. Three ways to dispose the product: sell as is, on an as is basis, repair and reuse, ultimately dispose the product. Now, these are some ways in which you are disposing or reusing the product when the reverse logistics activity has been completed and the goods have arrived back into your manufacturing plant or warehouse. Sell as is, it's like resale, sale via outlet at a discounted rate, e-auction, sale to secondary market. Repair or reuse, you're repairing, refurbishing it, modifying it, recycling it. So this is a better option than sell as is, because when you are selling it in an as is condition, you are doing so at a compromise. You are selling it at a price which is not the price for your first hand product. So here you are reusing it, repairing it, and then trying to sell it back into its original form. Dispose, scrap, donate. Now, donation is also to be done in a compliant manner. You should not donate a substandard product to somebody free of cost, but then finally certain characteristics of the product or the nature of the product, if it is harmful, can harm the person to whom you have tried to do charity also. Dispose in a secure manner. Create profit centers. Some companies have gone as far as to create profit centers around their return processes. What is e-auction? To obtain the highest prices for returned items, some service providers have set up capabilities to coordinate returns and help manufacturers recoup some of their costs by reselling returned goods on the internet auction sites. Now, what are the main drivers which will actually decide the fate of how successful the reverse logistics process is? The success will depend upon the efficiency of the following subsystems. Product location. For product recall, it is necessary to identify the product location in the physical distribution system of the firm. It is difficult in case of consumer goods, but easier in the case of industrial products. Secondly, very important, what is the product collection system? After the product location is identified, product collection is to be done through the company's field force or third party, as it depends from company to company. If it is the company's own force, then they are supposed to get the products back into their own warehouses. But mostly if it is a third party, then they have their own process at a particular cost. to collect. So when you collect X number of kgs or X number of boxes, you get paid as a reverse logistics service provider. Recycling or disposal centers, this may be the company's plant or warehouse or any other location. And fourthly, the documentation system. Proper documentation at each level would help in tracing the product location, and also especially in India where a lot of checking happens for documentation, etc. If a proper documentation is missing, there might be penalties and fines imposed by the state transport or the RTOs, etc. while the product is in transit on the in the reverse milk run. Some of the best practices in reverse logistics include making it easy and convenient for customers to return products when necessary. This has recently been epitomized by online, you know, selling portals, and they portray a system wherein it's as easy to return a product as it is to buy, which is mostly true, because they also, you can stop your shipment before you are, you know, at the last moment, not pay for it at the last moment. You have accepted the product, paid for it, you get a full credit note if you return it in the same good condition. Increase customer support aimed at stopping returns before they happen. So don't let the customer return it. Try to understand what his problems are and stop the return. That's the most profitable thing to do. Consider outsourcing some or all of the reverse logistics function to third parties. Establish a clear and uniform policy and procedure to govern the disposition of returns. Automate data capture and process wherever possible, including validation and tracking. Share captured information on returns with other parts of the organization, especially the R&D teams. Now, here it is very important what we tell here in terms of the disposition of returns. In trying to be more profitable, an organization should not compromise on the disposal or the incineration process. It has to be done in a compliant way as per the government rules and in a way which does not damage the environment. So if we do this, then in most probable cases the reverse logistics system would be handled in the best possible manner. So in this chapter we basically spoke about the way reverse logistics operates and why it is important to have policies for reverse logistics. Ideally, we do not plan for the return of products in many industries, but in many industries which have small spare parts, in the present retail setup, a lot of returns take place, and it is very important to have reverse logistics in a good shape, because what if you have saved a lot of money by good practices in your normal logistics process, and if you cannot handle the reverse part of it in an effective manner, then you undo a lot of good work that you have done initially. So it's important to give good attention and a lot of time on the handling of reverse logistics. Thank you.